LCF Barbara Titley's on JFM's Business Hub.
This is George.
Hello!
George runs his own multinational successful company, Spoontech International. But George wasn't always a high-flying businessman jetting across the world. Let's go back to when it all began. George started Spoontech from his bedroom when he left university. He worked night and day to build up a client base, to create great relationships with suppliers, and to work up his margins. But the time came where working at home just wasn't for him anymore. He'd outgrown the house, and his wife wasn't a fan of all the paperwork. So he needed to get his own premises. But where did he start? He didn't have the first clue about finding a commercial property. How could he be sure that he wasn't signing something that wasn't right, or that might tie him in until the end of time? Thankfully, George contacted his fairy god solicitor for advice, and the rest, as they say, was history.
So, the legend of George there, and how he got his very first business premises all those years ago. Now, if you're listening to this and you run a business, and perhaps you've been very successful, but you've never had the call for a premises before, you've never needed an office, perhaps you've worked from home or done everything on a freelance basis from every coffee shop under the sun, you might be now thinking, where on earth do I start going about getting myself a premises for my business? Well, you're in luck, because Russell Burnett from LCF Barber Titley's is here to tell us about business premises and how to go about doing that for the very first time. So thank you for joining us, Russell.
Thanks a lot for asking me.
Where do you start, Russell? If you're listening to this and you've been successful and now thinking, do you know what? I need a base. I need somewhere to work from. How do you begin to find somewhere?
It's a tricky problem, I can imagine. Firstly, you want to get yourself a strategy, I think. Step back, look at how your business is going and what your plans are for the future. So what do you need this property for? An immediate use, and also thinking probably 3-5 years ahead as well to see where you're going to go with it. It's a big investment one way or the other. To have that process of stepping back first and just thinking about what your needs are is important.
That's really important, isn't it? And it's probably really important to tie it into your business plan overall, isn't it? Because the worst thing you could possibly do is get a premises that you outgrow in like 6 months or something, isn't it?
Well, that's it, because whether you're leasing the property or buying it, there can be quite substantial upfront costs when you're fitting something out for your exact needs. And as you said, you want to make sure that, you know, that investment isn't wasted on the basis that you need to move on quite soon afterwards.
Now, I imagine it's quite similar to looking for a property to live in the sense that there will be agents who will show you various properties that will suit what you're looking for. And in that business planning process, you will kind of have worked out what your budget roughly is going to be and how much space you need and that sort of thing. Yeah. They are kind of empty shells, really, aren't they, most business premises? So there are kind of the cost of actually getting the premises itself and then fitting it out as well, isn't there?
Yeah, and I think you just mentioned agents there. I think when you're taking this step back, you can build a team of people through your contacts, networking and that sort of thing, sort of more diverse business skills. Your bank manager, your agent and your solicitor, they've all got vital knowledge, vital contacts that can save you time and money. And I think at that stage, you know, to bring them into the loop is vital.
Yeah, don't just go and sign yourself up on a lease or buy a property without consulting people and making sure that there's a wealth of knowledge out there and a wealth of knowledge in your networks, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we do come across people who are running smaller businesses, and the prospect of paying legal fees or agents' fees for some advice in relation to that. Let's take it as a lease in this case. So a small lease, a relatively low rent, perhaps below £10,000 a year, on a relatively short term. And those people might say, oh, well, I don't want to pay any legal costs, don't want to pay any agents' costs. And I can understand that. But I think it's important that, you know, either they've got some sort of legal background, good understanding of what's in that lease, or they take advice, because whilst you might be paying a relatively low rent, there can be a lot of hidden costs in that document, which, you know, you might rely on the landlord's goodwill to a certain extent, but, you know, can be considerable and affect your business.
And actually, I think if you've got a good relationship with your solicitor, because really there's so many things that you can use a solicitor for your business in terms of, and we've talked about a lot on this show previously with your colleagues, Russell, where we've talked about things like terms and conditions and contracts and all those sort of things.
Yep.
And having a good relationship with your solicitor, it doesn't need to take huge amounts of time, does it, to look over a contract?
In fact, the probably better you get to know your solicitor's firm and have more contact, and the better they get to know your business, almost it becomes a time-saving exercise because you pick up the phone to them and you build up a rapport, and that person can then deliver the service you want. Everybody's aware of fees, all professionals. You know, we realise when people pick up the phone to us that fees are a big issue straight away. Yeah. And we try and manage that process, you know, through our experience, really, to guide that person to the advice they need and, and try and refine it as much as possible.
One of the things that seems to come up week in, week out is that actually spending that little bit of money now on paying a fee, getting the correct advice can save you a lot of money in the long term, can't it? Because getting it wrong is expensive.
Yeah, absolutely. As I say, I'm very aware of upfront costs myself if I was going into any situation, but you do come across horror stories where people, often on the smaller side of businesses, will sign up for things not really understanding not only the terms of the lease, but also understanding the property. There's a title behind the property, there's deeds, and there's various restrictions on the use of that property. So you could be signing up for a property thinking, great, this is the perfect property for me. There could be something on that title to that property that says, no, you can't. That property is by no means perfect for you, and you cannot use it for that use.
So it might be you've found the perfect office to make your spoons. Let's use George as the example. Yeah. But actually, there's something on the deed that says you can't make cutlery here.
Well, exactly. You know, there could be competition in the area whereby, for example, if George's factory office is on an estate of some description or in a particular area where people want to be, then the landlords of that property may not want too many competing businesses in that property, in that area. So there could be restrictions on competition and that sort of thing within a certain area. You're expected to undertake this due diligence and seek professional advice. Indeed, ethically, when you're acting for a landlord as a solicitor, if a tenant comes to you or if somebody comes to you wanting to take a lease or buy property and they weren't represented, it does send off red flags, and it's a difficult position to be in for both parties, to be honest. So even if I was acting for a landlord, I prefer it if a business owner is represented.
We're running fast out of time here, Russell, but I just wanted to very quickly touch on the difference between buying and letting, because we did mention earlier on that you might choose to buy your premises, you might choose to let it. Is that something, again, you could seek advice on from professionals?
Again, going back to your strategy, if you're buying, you might be looking at the long term, you might be looking at investment. If you're building up a business, that business may flourish, and ultimately you may choose to sell that business onto a bigger business. In that case, owning the property, you can always lease the business to your own business. So you can own the business in your personal name and lease it back to your own business.
Right.
And then if you sell on that business, you've got an ongoing investment for a number of years. So you need to consider, is the capital available to do that, to look at that sort of option? It's an expensive option.
Yeah.
Alternatively, leasing, it's a more flexible option.
Yes.
You can define the terms of the lease, how long you want it for. And obviously, if you want to get out of that lease, you define the terms and move on to other bigger properties if you need to.
If your business got really big, some big firm came in and bought your business, they might not want the property to start off with. But also, if they do keep it, you can charge them rent, can't
Absolutely,
you?
Absolutely.
And take a step back and not have to work hard.
Absolutely.
Which is lovely.
Yeah.
So, Russell, thank you so much for that. If people have more questions and would like to know more about buying a property and maybe would like to start that process of getting some advice on that, how can they get in contact with you?
Well, if they just contact us at LCF Barber Titley's and ask for myself or another member of the commercial property team, then we'd be delighted to help you.
And you can check the website, can't you?
www.lcf.co.uk.
LCF Barber Titley's on Stray FM's Business Hub.